Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, March 5th, Ash Wednesday. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Joining us by phone this morning, our guest pastor is Pastor Keith Lynch. He is pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida. Good morning, Pastor Lynch.
Good morning. Happy Ash Wednesday.
Well, thank you to you as well. Thanks so much for being our guest pastor today.
Happy to be here. I think I did this once before, and it's always a joy to have an opportunity to talk about the text for the day and to spend time with you.
Thanks. Well, tell us a little bit about Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida.
Well, we live in God's paradise down here in Naples, Florida. I don't know what the temperature there is in St. Louis today, but I know it's going to be probably in the 70s down here today. It's just a fantastic place, beautiful vacation spot. Many people come to vacation. So when you're down here on vacation, come and look us up. We're a liturgical congregation. We have two services, 8 and 10:30. We go through the hymnal. We use all five settings throughout the year. Right now, we're going to be in setting one, and so it's just a great congregation, great music. We have a wonderful church musician, Jonathan Berner, and he is our choir director, and our cantor does wonderful. We have a brass choir and a children's choirs and adult choirs and chime choirs, and it's just fantastic. So I never know what's going to happen. You know, we work and plan and prepare the music, but I never know what we're gonna have on a Sunday. So it's fantastic. Jonathan does a great job.
Well, very good. Are you ready to study the Daily Lectionary for today?
Sure.
I have Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. Is that the same text
That's
you
what
have?
I got.
All right. I'll read a little bit and we'll break it down or unpack it. Before we even do that, would you like to give us a little background on the text?
Yeah. It's the opening chapter of Mark, and really, you know, Mark gets right to it. Mark doesn't give us a long genealogy. He doesn't give us the account of Jesus' birth. He just goes right into the work of Messiah, starting with John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus. So I think Mark is not that those things are not necessary or important, because obviously they are, and we have wonderful accounts in Matthew and also in Luke's gospel, but Mark kind of gets right to the message, right to the heart of the matter, and right into what's going on with Jesus as he begins his earthly ministry.
Very good. I'll read some of a few of the verses, and then we can unpack them. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Let's pause there before we get much further. We have this reference to Isaiah. Tell us a little bit about what this reference to Isaiah is all about.
Well, I believe the reference here is talking about John the Baptist, right? It's talking about the one who has promised of old, who would come and prepare the way for Jesus. John is the one who is that last great prophet, the last Old Testament prophet, the link between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is the guy who's there proclaiming, hey, Jesus has come. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus is here, and something amazing is about to take place. What's happening is Jesus has come on the scene to fulfill the law and the prophets, to bring to completion all that was promised of old, and so Isaiah, in his prophecy is pointing to the day, and pointing to the person of John the Baptist. And boom, here he is. All because Isaiah is really pointing even further than John the Baptist to Jesus and what he is about to do and who he is. And so we get this prophecy from Isaiah saying, John is going to come and do something. John is going to be the messenger, the voice between old and new. And that's what you have. I mean, that's what you have.
So John appeared baptizing in the wilderness, verse 4, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So John is out there baptizing. What is this baptizing? What does the word baptizing mean here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We don't see a whole lot of these kinds of things happening until John comes on the scene. In the Old Testament, I mean, there was washing, there was ceremonial washing, foreshadowing. But here John comes on the scene, kind of renewing people. They had been, the people of God had been united to God in a covenant relationship that they had fallen away from, that they had constantly wandered away. You read the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, you know, the Lord is constantly calling his people back to this covenant, this relationship that he's made with them. And they continue to wander, right? They fall away, God calls them back. They fall away, God calls them back. They repent, they come back, and it's this kind of back and forth. And John, it's my understanding. John is the one out there saying, "Hey, listen, we've lost our way. We need to." He's once again doing the work of the prophet, calling the people back to a relationship with the Lord, calling them back to the covenant that they are in with the Lord. John is calling them back, and he's calling them back through this baptism, this washing of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. There's this great discussion I think that continues on today about the differences between what John's baptism and Jesus' baptism and Paul's baptism, and I don't know whether it's good or healthy to kind of get into those kinds of discussions because John was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, drawing people back, keeping them united in this relationship with God, that now Jesus is going to be the one who kind of fulfills all this. He's going to be the one who makes all things new. He's going to be the one that is making this baptism of John really a wonderful gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. It is in what Christ is about to do and what he has come to do that is going to fulfill all righteousness, that's going to fulfill all of the Old Testament, all of the law. So this baptism of John out in the wilderness is a call, but it's more than that. It's a renewal of who God's people are in their relationship with him, because Jesus is coming. get ready, strap in, get ready, because Jesus is coming, and that he changes everything. He changes everything.
Verse 6.
John's outfit, John's clothing. John is definitely that picture of that prophet out in the wilderness, calling the people who wandered in the wilderness. You know, it's interesting that it happens near the Jordan or at the Jordan River. This is where it may have been the same spot where the people of Israel crossed over from the wilderness wandering for 40 years into the Promised Land. That may have been the spot. I've been to the Holy Land, and I don't know if it's the actual spot. No one really does, but it's pretty interesting to think of it that way. That the children of Israel, you know, they escaped Egypt through the mighty act of God. They are delivered through water, the Red Sea. They go out into this journey of some 40 years wandering in the wilderness until God brings them to the promised land. And then again, through water, they enter into this promised land through the Jordan River. And it's here at this location or at this spot or somewhere along the Jordan River. And I'm sure that the people were reminded of that imagery of, hey, the release from bondage, the imagery of the promised land, the imagery of this covenant that they have with God. And now this is all happening as Jesus enters onto the scene. And John is that last great prophet. So long story to that section.
Well, I want to go back to verse 6 for a little bit.
Yeah.
John's wearing camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist and eating locusts and wild honey. He's not trying to make a fashion statement here.
Exactly.
What is significant about the fact that he's wearing camel's hair and a leather belt?
Well, how did the children of Israel leave Egypt, right? They strapped on what they had. They ate the Passover fully clothed. They were ready to go out into the wilderness. And that's exactly what they did. God provided them that last plague, the plague of death, the firstborn, and the blood of the lamb covering the doorpost provided them a Passover, so that the angel of death would pass over them, and then they were set free. They departed. They left in haste. And so I think the imagery of John and camel's hair and a leather belt it harkens back to that kind of that Passover, that journey. The children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years, and their clothes never wore out, we're told from Scripture. Imagine that. I buy my clothes, and they wear out relatively quickly. but not so with the children of Israel.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary today with Pastor Keith Lynch. He's the pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida. If you have questions about today's text and want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions to kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying this text as we're looking at Mark chapter 1 today as part of the Daily Lectionary, right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Let Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's jennyw@kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Attorneys for a German couple who lost their bid for U.S. asylum to homeschool their children say deportation proceedings against the family have been deferred indefinitely. The development comes a day after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear Uwe Romeike's asylum appeal. Michael Ferris, chairman of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, says the group received a call from the Department of Homeland Security Tuesday. Ferris says the Romeike family is happy they'll be allowed to stay.
The reason they're homeschooling is because they wanted to give their kids a Christian education, which is not possible in Germany. There, the religious schools have to follow the government curriculum.
Ferris says the HSLDA offered legal help to the Romeikas because
we view the rights of homeschoolers around the world as something very important to us, because they're our brothers and sisters. In homeschooling and in these particular cases, they were our brothers and sisters in Christ.
The Romeikas moved to Tennessee after an escalating series of confrontations with German officials. I'm Steve Coleman.
God said, I, even I, am He. who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid-American Coaches.
Welcome back to His Time on Ash Wednesday. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, studying with Pastor Keith Lynch. He's pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida. Pastor, before we went to break, we were up through about verse 6. I know we've started talking a little bit about verse 7. Verse 7, and he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
What? Yeah, John. Mm-hmm. John definitely knows his position, right? John is not Messiah; he is the forerunner. He knows that there is one coming after him, the one that he's pointing to, the one that he's making straight paths for, who will be greater than he is, who will. You know, he's not worthy to untie his shoes. And so he knows that he's pointing, he's the hand of the messenger pointing to the one, pointing to God who is coming in the flesh, who's able to baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit, who gives this gift of faith and life and forgiveness, by just by who he is, and so you see that in John. John is the one saying, "Hey, I know my place. I know who I am. I know my mission, mm-hmm. and I'm going to stick with that because Messiah is coming, who's greater than I."
Very good. Let's go to our listener lines. Let's go to Mark in South Dakota. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, sirs. How is everything going?
Oh, going well. What's your question this morning?
Well, I'd just like to ask a reference here on Zechariah 13:4 in reference to the camel's hair and the honey. You see how that might apply to John as well. And I'll take your response off the phone.
Zechariah, what was that again?
13:4.
13:4. All right, let's take a look at that. Thanks. Thanks so much for your call, Mark.
Thank you, and happy Lent.
Thank you. To you as well. Zechariah 13:4, on that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive.
Hmm.
Pastor, any thoughts on how this might relate to?
Mm-hmm? I'm not really sure. I mean, I'd have to really do a little bit more work on that one. Good question, I think. There might be a connection between the two. Read that reference once more.
Sure. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 4. I'll actually read a little bit more and put it in context. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive, but he will say, "I am no prophet. I am a worker of the soil, for a man sold me in my youth." And if one asks him, "What are these wounds on your back?" he will say, "The wounds I received in the house of my friends." Interesting.
Interesting text.
Yeah. Certainly worthy of more study, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the idea that John, you know, that John knows his place. I think, you know, John is definitely the one who is, "Hey, I'm not the guy. I'm the messenger of the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not the Messiah. I'm the messenger of the Messiah. I'm not the one. The one is I'm pointing to the one," which also then John doesn't see himself necessarily as maybe a prophet. Maybe John, you know, I don't know whether John was going, "Well, I'm the connecting link between old and new." I don't know whether John was actually thinking in that fashion, but John is definitely different than, but he is that prophet-like guy that's out there pointing to Jesus.
Shall we go?
Good text. Mm-hmm. I'd have to dig into it some more.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Mark. We appreciate your call today. Verse 9 and following, back to Mark chapter 1, verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Let's pause there.
Yeah.
Before we get much further in the text. So, yeah. So Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and his hometown, right?
Yes. Yes. I love, you know, the simplicity of Mark, right? I mean, he doesn't give you this long, this long drawn out account. Jesus shows up. He comes from Nazareth. He comes from Galilee. Shows up, and boom, John baptizes him in the Jordan River. Not a whole lot of fanfare there, you know. Okay, this is the mission. This is what I'm here to do. Let's make it happen. You know, we get the account from Matthew and Luke. There's a little bit more detail. John is not sure whether he even wants to baptize Jesus because of his, you know, place. Maybe Jesus should be baptizing John. You get this whole idea of fulfilling all righteousness from the other texts. But Mark, man, Mark is just straightforward. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And then, you know, as soon as he is baptized and comes up out of the water, what an amazing thing we have. I mean, we just went through the Transfiguration Sunday last week, and on Transfiguration Sunday, we hear the voice from heaven again, the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And here we have that voice that speaks the first time at his baptism. "This is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." You have this heavenly voice. You have the Trinity, actually. I mean, you have the Trinity. You have the voice from heaven. You have Jesus the Son, and you have, not in Mark's account, but in
verse 10
Mark's account, mm-hmm. too, the dove, you know, the spirit descending on him like a dove. You have the Trinity. So, you know, for those who say, "Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that we have the Trinity," right here, boy, it's plain as day. Father speaks, Son is baptized, Spirit is present in the form of a dove, and you have this kind of heaven being ripped open again, right? The door of heaven being opened, and how is that all happening? It's all happening through Jesus. Through Jesus, He is the one that is. The door between here and there, and here and there is not far, not a long journey. It's not 40 years in the wilderness. it's 70 years here on earth, and then we depart. And really, it's not a far journey.
The voice came from heaven. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The phrase "with you I am well pleased," is there significance to that?
Well, it's interesting that Jesus is baptized by John, and there is, John is baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, and we have Jesus here who is without sin. So in Jesus, he is stepping into the waters of the baptism of sinners. And I can remember one of my professors at the seminary, Dr. Art Just, saying, you know, Jesus is like a sponge. And here in the waters of his baptism, he begins to soak up the sin of the world into his flesh as he journeys to cross and suffering. And what a great day to remember that. That imagery, then, you know, Ash Wednesday, as we begin our journey with Jesus to the cross and his passion, suffering, and death, and resurrection. that voice, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Here we have God the Father proclaiming, you are fulfilling the plan laid out for the salvation of the world. You are my son without sin, and yet you step into the waters of sin to take on yourself the sin of the whole world as you journey to the cross. What a wonderful message we have in that simple little text. And as I say, Mark is not a flowery kind of guy, not a whole lot of words. He gets right to the point. And in his words, there's great meaning. With the few words that he writes, he gives great meaning. And I think that's what we can take from this. You know, God looks down upon Jesus and the world through Jesus and sees, you know, the wonderful work that he's about to do. It's time. You know, we've waited a long time for God. You know, the children of Israel waited a long time for Messiah to come, and the time is at hand. He is here, and God is pleased.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, with Pastor Keith Lynch. He's pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida today. If you have a question about the text, you can give us a call. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're studying the text. Shall we move ahead to verse 12?
Sure. The Spirit, how much time do we have?
We've got another 10 minutes or so.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him.
Yeah, this is a great section, too. I mean, he comes up out of the water, he's baptized, the Spirit is present there. And then the Spirit immediately takes him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I once again hearken back and I think of the children of Israel. They were rescued from Egypt and slavery. They were rescued from this bondage of slavery in Egypt by the Lord, by his mighty hand. He drives them out into the desert, out into the wilderness, through the water of the Red Sea, through a baptism, so to speak, through the waters of the Red Sea. And they're out in the wilderness, and there they are at the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up onto the mountain and to get the commandments. And while he's up there a while, and you know what happens. The children of Israel, it's not long that they begin to long for Egypt. They begin to long for that place where they had food and water, and yet God is caring for them. He's providing for them, and they're complaining. And it isn't long before they fall away. They fall away from what God had done for them. They fall away from this relationship that they had with God. They fall away from in sin. They fall away in sin, and are, you know, the devil is there whispering in their ear, well, God doesn't love you, or God is not for you, or God has brought you out here to die. And so the children of Israel quickly buckle to the temptation of the devil and fall. Not so with Jesus. He is Israel boiled down to one. He is the children of Israel escaping Egypt boiled down to one. He is the greater Adam. You think of Adam, right? God mm-hmm. creates Adam out of the dust of the earth. He places him in the garden. There's Adam and Eve. All of the blessings that God could possibly provide present for them, a special relationship and bond that they have. And there is the serpent saying, well, you can be like God. You know, try this, do this. And Adam and Eve fall into sin. So like Adam, like the children of Israel, here we have Jesus being led out into a place where the devil is there to tempt him. And we know how that goes down. We know that as Satan tempts Jesus, there's a different result this time. Jesus does not buckle to the temptation of the devil. Jesus does not fall to Satan. Instead, he withstands the temptation. He withstands the temptation of the devil by a relationship, by the Word of God, by being the sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As our substitute, Jesus steps out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, to win victory for us. So unlike Adam, Jesus wins victory, remains faithful. Unlike the children of Israel, Jesus remains faithful for us as our substitute. Now, as I said, in the water, Jesus begins to soak up the sin of the world, to take on our sinful nature and our flesh, and soak up that sin and win victory over the devil and head to the cross and suffering, where he will nail that sin in his flesh to the tree and have victory for us. So this image of the temptation in the wilderness, what a great account. And once again, Mark, not a whole lot of words, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is driven out by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit drives him out. Temptation, he's there for 40 days. You know, I can't go for 40 minutes without eating. Jesus goes for 40 days without eating. And I'm sure that he was hungry at the end of that, right? And he's out there alone, but the angels are serving him, ministering to him.
And that
great picture.
That I was going to say that raises a couple of questions. That last sentence raises some questions for me. He was with the wild animals, So I guess that means he's possibly in physical danger. Then, is that right?
I would. Whenever you're with the devil in his presence, you are always in danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
When Satan is around, you're in danger. And the world in which we live is filled with all kinds of wild beasts. Yes, I believe Jesus was in danger, and yet God is taking care of him. Right, God is taking care of him through those angels. We believe that the angels are God's ministering spirits sent to serve the Lord by serving God's people, and we believe that we have a guardian angel. Some of those angels work overtime to protect us and keep us safe. So I have no problem with the idea that the angels were caring for Jesus, protecting him, mm-hmm. making sure that the plan that was set in place, heading to the cross, his suffering and death would take place. Not that Jesus needed to be motivated to do that, because he was going to do that no matter what. but God is caring for us as well through those angels, just like he did for his son.
Amen. Would you like to provide anything else for us on the text today, what can we walk away from this text with? I know that we've got the sermonette coming up in morning prayer in a little bit, but
yeah.
Taking all of it in context now, I know we've kind of gone verse by verse, looking at it as a whole, what can we walk away from the text with today?
Well, I think, as I said, I think we go back to the children of Israel, and what we can take away from this is, you know, God is faithful down through the ages with his people who have not been faithful, who have wandered away. That's
mm-hmm.
us. We're just like that. We tend to wander. We tend to be we're people who recognize our sinful condition. For me, I think one of the greatest advantages of being a Lutheran and from Luther is that the more we recognize our sinful condition, the more we can rejoice in the forgiveness of sins that we have. You know, those who sin much are forgiven much. Those who feel like they sin little have very little forgiveness. And so, you know, that imagery of great great forgiveness. I know who I am. I know who I am as a sinner, and I know who I am in Christ and forgiveness. And what we have here is a picture of how God is taking care of his people down through the ages. Just like he took care of the children of Israel in the desert, so God is taking care of his people by sending his son. And that is all, you know, that's kind of, it's all leading to this. It's all leading to this great event where Jesus would come onto the scenes. And St. Mark is giving us a great picture of how that begins and how that he's going to take us to the end, where really it's a beginning for us as Christians. He's going to take us to the cross. He's going to take us to the suffering. But that all starts with Jesus' baptism. So the beginning of Jesus' ministry all starts with his baptism and then that journey for 3 years as he heads to the cross. So what we have before us is the beginning of the story told anew. You know, it happened in the Old Testament. God was caring for his people. It happened with Adam and Eve, God caring for his people. And finally, God's going to take care of sin. He's going to take care of us, you know, once and for all. And here it is. The Messiah is here, doing wonderful things, recreating, bringing life where there is only death, and all of that starts with Jesus' baptism. So I think we have, you know, boy, keep reading.
Yeah,
right? You know, keep reading through the rest of the daily lectionary, because we're going to journey with Mark to the cross, and we're going to journey with Mark to the empty tomb. And we're going to journey with Mark to Jesus' resurrection, all of which points to victory for us.
Amen to that. We will keep studying the daily lectionary here on His Time. So keep studying with us. Keep listening with us, listeners, and studying God's Word, the daily lectionary here, and send in your questions and via email or phone calls. We're happy to take those as we study the daily lectionary here as well. Well, it is. It's about time to wrap up our study today, Pastor. So we appreciate the time that you've given us and enlightening us. We've been studying with Pastor Keith Lynch. He's pastor at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida. Thanks for being our guest pastor today.
Happy to be here. Anytime.
God's blessings to you and the folks at Grace Lutheran Church in Naples, Florida.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, too.
Thanks. Coming up in a little bit, we've got morning prayer with that sermonette on today's daily lectionary as well, the daily New Testament reading. And we'll enjoy some sacred music to round out the hour right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.